Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife.
Marie.
And you are going in Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be watching right here at youtube.com/ Steven Larson, and available anywhere fine podcasts can be found. Be sure to hit that subscribe button because it really helps the profile of the show. It helps move us up the rankings and opens up a whole new world of people to our show, Larson.
Yes.
Quickly, what's your favorite Rubber Soul song?
We just had this conversation.
We had it off camera for the patrons at patreon.com/ Steven Larson.
In my life.
You're correct. We've got about 50 people watching the show, being able to watch our antics before we start rolling.
Correct.
After we roll, we do a bonus episode for everybody to enjoy. So we're there. We have various tiers that you can subscribe to, that you can pledge to.
Yeah, and there's a great rewards attached to every tier.
Great rewards.
Outstanding.
Best rewards.
They're getting there.
Yeah, they're getting there. Ooh, I'm going to reveal the Going In Raw comic book cover very soon.
Very soon.
By the end of the week, Larson.
Very exciting.
On the Patreon. Anyway, speaking of Patreon, I like to give a shout out to all the new patrons we get through the week because they, what? It's me, I think.
We need to tighten up everything here.
Yeah, we do.
All this furniture is way
too
loose.
Hey, man, we got to tighten up our ship. Also, patrons, we need to tighten up the way I read these. I still haven't figured out a good system. Tried to do it last week, and I think I left out a lot of people.
I think you left out a couple days.
So I left you guys off. I'm trying not to. If I left you guys off, I apologize for that. But I'm going to read off these names here anyways. Starting off with, we'll just start here. Jordy Diaz. The Down Under, Taker, Zach Parks, Matt Camarco, The True King of Haas, The Mighty Quinn, Aaron Fugelberg, Erect Haas Champion, Baron Damo, Nick Sugg, Ryan Pennington, Chris Morris, Jack Charlesworth, Miguel Aguilera, Arthur B. Hill, Chris Robinson, Ow Banan, Static X is coming, Nubilis, The Philly Flexer, Devin Panzarella, Christian Meija, Becky Effendale, King of Stretch Style Travis, Paul Goubert, Ryan Linkus, the Interstellar Wielding Shawnee Mack, Hamish McIver, XMX, Tom Hughes, Mohit Bali, Cody Shoemaker, Fisticuffs Champion Obadiah Footsbottom, Joshua Parsons, Lenny, Double T, the Nightcrawler, Alex...
Oh.
That piqued your interest, didn't it? The Nightcrawler. Naheem Bogard. Matt Hirsch. Joseph Phillip. Lionel Duarte. Lionel Duarte? I don't know. El Ingobernable de Central Valley Mexa Turtle. Mitchell Janda. Darth Rikus. Milling About Champion. Gabriel Raven. Timothy Lemieux and Sean Morris up till 15 minutes ago.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you. It takes a lot. Look, man, it takes a lot for people to open up their wallets. It's kind of like the financial embodiment of opening up your hearts.
Yes.
And they kick into the show, especially these days with the YouTube ad revenue thing. I was listening to Solid Monster. I'd love to get him on the show one of these days.
We should do that.
I was on a run. I was listening to Solid Monster, and he said something about his payback review doing 25,000 views and getting 89 cents. We think we have it bad. Oh,
wow.
Boy. So definitely check out Solid Monster's podcast. I was really enjoying it. Because you know why? Do you know why? He was talking about House of Horrors, how he enjoyed it too. And he was getting a lot of flack for that. I was saying how I enjoyed House of Horrors, and I get a lot of flack for that. So definitely an excellent podcast for you guys to check out. We're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw.
Yes.
We're on the road to 8 shirts because I submitted a new one last night. Let me check to see if it's up yet. I submitted it last night. They've been really quick about
it. It's a quality shirt. I just saw it when I walked in today.
He got to see it. It's a
Larson approved.
Larson approved shirt. Not up yet. Not up yet. Maybe by the time this goes up. I don't know. Check it out. ProWrestlingTees.com.
Hopefully this weekend off time to get the Cold Water Larson shirt up. I have a vision in my mind. I know what I want to be. I might do two because I have two ideas. I can't decide which one I like
most. I thought we were going to duel. Weren't we going to duel? How about this? Somebody posted this on your Twitter.
That's good, but yeah. I have a vision.
Okay.
I have an idea.
All right.
And I'm going to do it.
All right. Sounds good. I'm glad. I'm glad you have a vision. Get it done.
Yes, I will.
I want results, man. I want results. Ooh, we got a new email. I wonder if it's a patron pledge. Cancel that. Oh, man, look at that. Jardar just edited their pledge from $5 to 50 shirts. Congratulations. You get a t-shirt, Jardar.
Thank you.
It's got my dog hair all over it. Got my dog's hair all over it. I don't have dog hair myself. I'm not a dog. I'm human. Anyways, Lars, let's talk about Rob. We've been talking. I'm not Dog Steve. No.
Yeah,
I'm
we've
not.
Been talking about other stuff for a while, so let's talk about Raw.
Let's talk about Raw.
Raw.
Yeah, okay. So here's Raw. Here's my take on Raw. I watched it via Hulu because I kind of knew that because they were taping in England, nothing important was going to happen. And so I watched it on Hulu this morning. I supplemented with their YouTube page. For me, doing it that way, a 90-minute Raw experience, it was a very, very, I thought it, I enjoyed it. It was an enjoyable experience.
I feel like you're addicted to your phone.
No, I'm there's a reason I'm getting my phone at this point. Because I got a tweet last night from a fellow, a friendo named Peter Coetti.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that seems that Rollins, Balor, Joe, Miz, Wyatt, and Ambrose are the new SmackDown 6.
Yeah.
The new Raw 6.
Yeah.
Exciting upper mid-card guys carrying their brand. And I thought last night was the first episode I noticed using those guys. Well, maybe even last week.
Oh, definitely last week.
We went to the last week
Yeah.
Where that was sort of put in place, and this week they sort of, it was when they were really running with it. I thought it was helped by, and as much as I love Kurt Angle, I thought it was helped by the lack of the authority thing and how Miz and Ambrose, they use them as co-general managers. I thought that was a clever way to go with them.
Yeah.
And so I was on board. I know that there were a couple matches that they boiled down to like 3 minutes on YouTube that were not in the Hulu version that I could definitely see as Raw black hole matches. But what did you watch? You watched the entire thing?
I watched the entire
thing. Okay, what was your take?
Let me ask you this. This opening segment in the ring.
Yeah.
I watched Raw at a relatively low volume.
Yeah.
So I didn't hear a whole lot of the crowd. Was the crowd as subdued as it seemed?
No, they were into it.
Okay.
They were doing their, you know, they were in England, so they were doing their jolly old England chanting.
Yeah.
All sorts of different things.
But just during that opening segment, it just seemed like there wasn't a great deal of excitement. But as I said, I watched it at a relatively low volume.
Well, there wasn't a lot of excitement necessarily to be had, but it felt It felt like the crowd was tickled. I don't think they were bored.
Okay.
That's how I felt.
Okay.
But
because I had a hard time telling how the crowd was reacting to that opening segment in the ring.
I'm going to ask chat really quick and then we're going to keep going. But I'll ask chat, how do you guys feel the crowd reacted to people who were really paying attention?
Yeah.
Because I watched and I was like, oh, the crowd seems to be into it.
See, because when I was watching it last night, I felt like the crowd wasn't into it, which took me out of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like this. Parksy101 says, try the 3-hour version, Steve, not the same experience. And that's fine. Look, man, I tried it, you know, I did what I could. I watched the Hulu version. I thought it was entertaining. Doesn't mean I'm going to do that every week. I try to watch the entire 3 hours every week because this is kind of our job.
It is our job.
But I don't know. I thought when I saw that tweet, I was like, okay, well, that's sort of an interesting way to approach it because I've been kind of crapping on how Raw ended up in the SmackDown shakeup. But it is a good look. This is the world we're living in where the world titles kind of aren't the main scene.
Yeah.
And we've got all these guys sort of in their own things. But let's start.
Hold
from
on,
the
I'll
beginning.
Ask you a question real fast because I had a thought last night. Before they did the shakeup, Shinsuke going to SmackDown made sense.
Sure.
Because SmackDown needed top of the card talent.
Yeah.
After the shakeup and after, you know, we've seen a couple weeks of how the rosters are kind of storylines are progressing on each show.
Okay.
No, I kind of feel like that Shinsuke should have gone to Raw.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I would say that has nothing to do, in my opinion, that has nothing to do with how the roster shook up. It's how they are using Shinsuke.
It could be a little bit of that, but since SmackDown is a 2-hour show,
yeah,
and since they got a lot more top of the card depth on SmackDown following the shakeup,
yeah,
I just feel like the upper card now is relatively congested.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they brought him over to kind of more or less replace Cena as top face, but without him actually having matches on TV, it's hard for him to seem like he's in that high place of prominence, especially given how he's been booked since he's debuted, you know? They've been treated, you know, I'm not going to say they're by any stretch of imagination burying him. And they are treating him like an important part of SmackDown, which he definitely is. But I understand why they want to wait to have his debut match on a pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. It's just unfortunate that debut match is a month and a half after he debuts.
Yeah, I know. No, I agree with you on that. I'm gonna throw this out there. And this is why I think I'm fine with him being on SmackDown, even though
I'm fine with him on SmackDown. I'm just saying, like, especially now if their plan was for him to have his debut match at the first pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Raw's next pay-per-view was 3 weeks after WrestleMania. Imagine how cool it would have been if he had debuted at Payback.
Mm-hmm.
Or it had an in-ring debut at Payback, you know? This could have been neat.
Is this going to be a concern of yours that dissipates as soon as Backlash is done with, though, and he moves on to something probably more than
a little meteor?
Than Dolph? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I totally get what you're saying. I think long-term, though, you've got two roster members that sort of exist in the exact same space. You got Finn Balor and you got Shinsuke Nakamura. I think it'd be folly to have both of them on the same show. And we said in the past that Samoa Joe and Shinsuke shouldn't be on the same show.
Oh, yeah. No, I understand all that.
But I think that, you know, you can sort of put them on their own islands. But I think Finn Balor and Shinsuke Nakamura have kind of the same trajectory. Like, Finn is going to be going after that Universal title as soon as they're done, whatever they're doing with Brock Lesnar. At this point, it wouldn't surprise me if Finn, like, especially with the reaction he gets.
Yeah.
They're letting him do the two sweets now.
Yeah.
They're letting him be who he wants to be.
Yeah.
And it would not surprise me if he's the man to take the title off of Lesnar. That absolutely would not surprise me. Who do you think is going to take the title?
It's going to be Reigns.
Yeah.
It's going to be Reigns.
Wouldn't surprise me if it was Finn.
Actually, though, I'd be surprised by that.
Really?
Yeah, I would. My hope is that, because there's been talk, I know, of Lesnar facing Rollins,
Finn, all those guys,
and Strowman between now and next year's WrestleMania. And like, I'm fine with Strowman. That's a great opportunity for Strowman to be in the title scene.
Yeah.
Rollins could take a loss or two to Lesnar. It's not going to hurt him at all.
Yeah.
But I feel like whenever Finn goes for the Universal title again, he needs to get it back. I don't feel like him being in a feud for the Universal title with Lesnar and him end up losing doesn't really do much for him.
Dude, it doesn't. That's why I'm not. I mean, he has to feud with somebody.
I know.
And it can't just be between now and Mania, Strowman and then Reigns.
Well,
I
was kind of wondering if this Ambrose-Miz thing will lead to the Miz winning the belt at some juncture. And then after Balor and Bray's feud is done, then it's Miz Balor for the Intercontinental title.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I guess we can get to their match from last night. You know, it's not like that had a satisfying conclusion to it.
Yeah.
They've been teasing stuff between Miz and Finn for the last couple of weeks. So maybe they're just setting the groundwork for the next feud for both those guys.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, Mania is a long way out. And I know they probably want Roman Reigns to take that title off of Lesnar. But a lot can change between now and then.
Oh, I know.
A lot can change. So, I don't know. Anyways, let's start at the top.
The show opened with Dean Ambrose backstage talking on the phone to Kurt Angle.
Kurt gave him a call.
Yeah. And Kurt appointed Dean as acting general manager of Raw for the evening.
Did he say why Kurt Angle was not there?
No.
Yeah, I don't remember him saying that or not. Well, they're in England, Kurt Angle. He can go to England. We saw him do WCPW.
Mm-hmm.
WCPW. Ambrose comes out, drops a promo. I thought everybody had like a decent energy tonight. I mean, maybe it was because I saw it in 90 minutes. I don't know.
It could be.
Maybe. Like, on it, I'll be honest, like, I was kind of like not interested in watching Raw.
Yeah.
The entire 3 hours. Because it just feels like, I don't know, it does kind of feel like slow motion. But then when I watched the 90-minute version this morning, having coffee, it was quite nice. So I don't know. There's a recommendation for you. Anyways, Ambrose came out. He's the acting GM
Miz comes out and says that he talked to Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah.
And that she appointed him co-acting general manager of Raw for the evening. So Dean and The Miz were co-acting general managers of Raw.
Right.
For the evening.
Right. Then Strowman comes down. That was kind of interesting.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was great. He comes down and he's, you know, nursing his torn rotator cuff.
Apparently he does have an elbow injury that's going to require surgery. He's going to be out for a couple months.
He's going to be out for a couple months. And then I like this. And then Kalisto. You know, I like this because, you know, they're trying to make something out of Kalisto.
Yeah.
Who hasn't been, you know, nothing. He's been nothing, basically. They've given him a fresh coat of paint. He looks great in that outfit.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't mentioned this at all because it's like Kalisto. Why would I? He looks great in that, like.
Oh, the new mask?
Yeah, the new mask. And then he's got, like, the cool stuff. I don't know. He looks cool. He still sounds like he's a 12-year-old kid. But I like that he's, you know, they're doing, you know, the little guy standing up for himself kind of thing. Anyways, he comes out. He challenges Strowman to a match. Strowman laughs him off, says, I'm injured right now, but I could beat you with one arm.
And Dean says, well, we have a match then.
And Strowman's like, what? I just said I'm injured. Then
Dean says, well, you also said you could beat him with one arm, so that's what's going to happen.
So you're good. So we're going to do that match.
But first, we had The Miz versus Finn Balor.
Yeah.
That happened right after a commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
It was an okay match.
Dean set that match.
Yes.
Which led to Miz setting a match for him later on.
Yes. It was an okay match. The Miz pushed Balor into the ref.
Mm-hmm.
And Miz, exploiting his power as co-general manager, called for the ref to ring the bell and disqualify Finn for laying his hands on a referee.
Yeah, I thought that sequence was kind of funny. And especially because Balor kind of kept on selling his disdain for the ref afterwards. But yeah, it was just kind of funny because the ref, I'm just always used to, like, I always look, whenever I look at the refs these days, I think of the refs in 2K17.
Oh yeah.
And I think of them as no different. And so, like, you know, when The Miz basically ordered the ref to call a DQ, like, he's sort of arguing with Finn a little bit, but then just out of nowhere, he calls for the bell and he throws out, calls it a DQ.
Yeah.
I don't know. There was no build to it. It was just they were talking, and then all of a sudden, so I don't know what Finn said to him to set him off, but I like to think it was something rude.
As The Miz is walking up the ramp, Ambrose comes out, restarts the match.
Yeah.
And bans Maurice from ringside.
Yeah, and that was sort of enough to throw The Miz off his game because Finn threw him back in the ring. I don't know, did something to him and then.
Well, it did the drop kick, coup de grace.
Yeah.
Got the win.
And I kind of noticed also, too, like, they're letting more people do guns.
He did that, yeah.
He did that, and Luke Gallows did guns, too.
Yeah.
He did a gun. So I like that. I like guns. I don't actually like guns. I like, you know, because this is. I can't hurt you if I do this. It looks rude.
You could poke me in the eye and that would hurt.
Yeah, a little bit. So anyways, then we had Alexa Bliss backstage and Nia Jax comes up to her and says, do you think I'm good?
Well, essentially, Nia was saying, I want a title shot once you're done with your feud with Bayley.
She said, last week you said I was good. Do you think I'm good? And she said, yes, you deserve a title shot. And she says, well, I'm going to make sure nobody gets that title off you so that I can get that title off you. And Alexa Bliss at first seemed concerned, but then, you know.
She realized short term, that's good for her.
She's like, hey, look, you know what? I got a bodyguard now.
Yep.
So anyways, that led to Alexa Bliss versus Mickie James, who had Bayley in her corner. Nia Jax was with Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss ended up pulling off the win.
Yeah, she pushed Mickie James off the top rope.
Yeah.
And scored the pin right after.
I like that. That's good booking. That's good. She's not cheating to win. She's being opportunistic.
Well, there's
like
a couple
that.
Of matches where the finishes didn't see the winner using their finisher to win the match.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good. So it's different.
Yeah, it is. It's good. Then we had Ambrose and Miz backstage. Is that when Miz, that's when he set the match for Bray Wyatt for the main event with Dean Ambrose.
Correct.
Next up, we had another amazing Samoa Joe interview. I can't get enough of his interviews. He is the best. He is the best promo guy in the business right now. He's fantastic.
In the middle of his promo, Seth Rollins comes into frame, attacks
him. He's so visceral when he talks.
I know.
He talks about, like, being able to hear ligaments pop. He's so descriptive.
I know. I know. It was great. So they brawl backstage, setting up a rematch from their payback match later on the evening.
Yeah.
Next, Braun with one arm versus Kalisto. Braun started out the match with kind of a promo saying, I told Dean that I was hurt.
Right.
So I'm not going to wrestle this match.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fight.
Yeah.
and Kalisto starts to talk to the ref. Braun kicks him in the head and starts beating on him. Cue Roman Reigns' music.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out.
Mm-hmm.
They fight.
Mm-hmm.
Reigns works over Braun's bad arm with a chair.
Yeah.
And I assume to write Braun off TV for a while because apparently Braun needs or just had elbow surgery.
Yeah, I think he needs it. I don't think he's had it yet.
Yeah, so I think Braun will not be in action in Extreme Rules.
Right.
Recuperating, but I think he could still make it back in time for Great Balls of Fire.
Oh, I love that they're already teasing. Because like when Dean was on the phone with Kurt Angle.
Oh, yeah,
he said,
yeah.
Hey, I got a great name for a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I love that they're teasing that. That's great.
Yeah.
Like, they're in on the joke. They know that it's a ridiculous title. That's good. I like
that.
Oh,
I agree. 100%.
It's fantastic. Again, you know, crowd booed the crap out of Reigns.
Oh, yes.
I like that. I don't know where this Reigns thing is going, man.
See, I was hopeful after the Undertaker match because after he won.
No, I know.
He, you know, when he raised his hands in victory and all the fireworks were going off, it seemed like, okay. The look on his face made it seem like there was something different going on there.
Nope.
And then just ever since then,
nope.
The same.
Yeah. Booty, booty, booty. Then we had the Golden Truth backstage. I did not see this.
Oh, this was a good segment.
What was it?
It was Goldust.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of talking to R-Truth specifically about Kurt Angle's comment about their win-loss record not being that great.
Sure.
And Goldust was you know, more or less saying, we have to get back on track. We have to start winning some matches, and let's start right here.
Mm-hmm.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was very effective.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that led directly into the...
I say that like I saw it. Sorry. Oh, yeah, it was great.
Mm-hmm. Led directly into the tag team turmoil match, which was actually a really fun match.
I love this. This was great. Fun. This was very inventive. I liked it. It was good. And it made Sheamus and Cesaro look ridiculously strong. That was fantastic.
The first two teams were
added.
Enzo,
what a great
Cass.
Way to add some like nasty heel heat on these guys.
I know.
It was fantastic. Yeah, first up was Enzo and Cass. The Cesaro just started stomping away on Enzo to start this
and
off.
And then
it was like it was like 2K17. It was great.
And then Enzo tapped out to a sharpshooter. Next came Slater and Rhino, and Cesaro and Sheamus just beat the hell out of him outside of the ring before the match even started.
Yeah.
And then after Slater and Rhino lost, the club came out.
Mm-hmm.
Cesaro and Sheamus made quick work of them.
Yeah. Yeah, so much for the club.
I know.
Out came the Golden Truth. And, you know, people were thinking, ooh, you know, Cesaro and Sheamus, they just ran through, what, three teams or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And now the Golden Truth, perfect opportunity for them, and so many near falls, so many almost wins.
Yep.
And Cesaro ended up beating R-Truth with a roll up.
Really fun match.
Yeah, that was. I thought that was very inventive, and I thought that, you know, one match did a lot for the tag team division.
Yes.
You know, so that's good. Next up, we had Smojo versus Seth Rollins. I thought this was a really good match.
It was a great match.
I thought this was a really fantastic match.
I love when, because at Payback.
Like, you can't say Raw was crap when you have a match like this on here,
I know.
Right?
I know.
You can,
but I understand what you're trying to say. At Payback, Joe didn't seem as focused on the character work as he was last night.
That's what really
made this
no,
match.
No, I agree. Yeah, totally.
It was all his trash talking and stuff. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was really good. This was more like, I don't know, a methodical Samoa Joe match, you know, and I really, really like that. Seth was doing a hell of a job selling that knee.
Well, then Joe was doing a hell of a job selling, you know, his furor, his anger.
Yeah, yeah. Seth ended up winning by DQ. And this had that great turnbuckle spot.
Yeah.
You never get like a lot of like true turnbuckle spots anymore. Samoa Joe basically, the top turnbuckle ended up coming off. And Samoa Joe right in front, plain view of the ref, just rams Seth's head into it.
I know.
And ref, nope, can't do that, DQ.
I know.
I like that.
That was cool.
Solid, decisive action from referee.
Yes.
He took control of the match, Larson. And how many times have we been in a live audience, and what do we yell at the ref? Take control of the match, ref.
I know,
do your job. You're effing up the match, Justin. That's my favorite.
I know, that was great.
That's my favorite. Effing up the match, Justin. Toby. Oh, man, we have too much fun.
We do.
Anyways, next up we had TJP versus Jack Gallagher, with Neville on commentary, taking commentary.
I loved how this match started, where they were, you know, doing a dab off essentially, and then Gallagher annihilated TJP with a wicked headbutt.
Yeah, I like that.
That was great.
Yeah, that was good.
That was so good.
TJP and I'm getting the win with like the biggest, like the biggest handful of tights I've seen in my
life. Oh,
like,
I know. It was great.
Like his taint was showing up to everybody in the British audience. Everybody saw what his the bottom of his ball sack looked like. It was nasty. Nobody wants to see that. Anyway, TJP ended up winning. And then he started laying in at Gallagher after the fact.
Yeah.
And then Austin Aries came in. He threw up. I love this. I like this feud, man.
It's great.
They've got a couple people in this. Now you got Jack Gallagher. Maybe he'll get involved a bit more somehow. I don't know. But I like Austin Aries. He had sort of a Star Trek uniform type outfit. Look,
I know. With the knee so when he first came
with the knee
out,
brace, he was like selling it.
I thought he had his knee pads on over his pants. But I was like, oh, yeah. It's just a knee brace.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, he was selling the heck out of that, out of TJP working over that knee last week.
Yeah.
Anyways, next up we had Sasha Banks versus Alicia Fox. This, nothing even happened. Like, there was, this was on YouTube. And
yeah.
It was like a 2.5 minute clip.
Yeah.
But it was the entire match.
Pretty much.
I was surprised.
Because you said it started out with them slapping back
and forth.
Pretty much the start of the match.
And I saw the end of the match. So when 2.5
pretty short.
Yeah, exactly. Sasha went up. Sasha ended up going over.
Yeah, she did a jumping double knees off the middle rope and won with that as opposed to the bank statement.
Yeah. Yeah. That was good. Dean Ambrose versus Bray Wyatt was our main event.
Yes.
I don't know what Bray. I don't know what
match we've seen a million times.
I don't know what the work was that Bray Wyatt was talking about last week. Man, I want some waffles. That sounds really good right now. I don't know why, but my brain just screamed maple syrup at me, and I was like, "Waffle sounds good." I don't know what this work is Bray Wyatt was talking about, but he didn't do any of that work. I want to see progress of his work.
It's the same Bray Wyatt we saw 3 years ago.
If he's got work, then I want to see a list of short-term goals leading to a long-term solid goal.
Agreed.
Which I hope would mean some sort of win for Bray Wyatt.
I know.
He needs to win, man. He needs to win something.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, he won the match, but it wasn't without help.
Oh, I know. That's so annoying. Man, I beat John Cena clean, man. All for nothing.
Pretty much.
Anyways, so Miz was on commentary. Miz ended up hitting Dean with the belt, and then Bray took advantage of that with his sister Abigail. Miz then attacked Dean, and of course next week, they announced earlier that next week we're going to get
the Intercontinental title
Dean
match
versus Miz for the Intercontinental title. This should be a barn burner. It should be a good match.
Yeah, it's interesting they're doing it now versus at Extreme Rules. I mean,
when is Extreme Rules?
May 21st.
What day is it? That's in-
so sorry no that's Backlash. Backlash is May 21st. Sorry, Extreme Rules, yeah, sometime in June.
Okay, yeah.
I don't remember exactly, though.
So wait a second. We've got Extreme Rules and Great Balls of Fire before SummerSlam?
Yeah, plus when Money in the Bank.
Well, yeah, that's SmackDown. I don't care about that. I mean, this is a Raw show. Yeah, that's all really weird. Well, Extreme Rules, when is that one? June 4th. And then when's Great Balls of Fire?
July at some point.
But then SummerSlam isn't until the end of August.
Yeah, it's August 20th, I think.
Okay, that's fine. So they're on like a monthly thing.
Backlash, well, yeah, two
then.
A month.
Yeah, that makes sense. Remember, I thought there was that rumor they were going to scale back. I guess that.
Yeah, no, I thought I heard that too.
Guess that didn't happen.
No.
They said, oh, why do 2 months when we could do 4 months?
Great Balls of Fire is July 9th.
Okay. All right, but then there's a pretty big gulf between that and SummerSlam then.
Yeah, I assume they'll
that's
be
like a 6 week build.
A SmackDown pay per view end of July or further in July.
Okay,
I would suspect.
Let's do some questions.
Yeah, answer some questions.
I'm going to questions. We pull most of our questions.
Sorry, yeah, Battlegrounds on July 23rd.
We pull most of our questions from the Patreon at patreon.com/ Stephen Larson from the $1 mark. You can jump into the massive question thread that we have going on.
Yes.
And if it's a good question, we'll see about answering it.
Yes.
But we do have 98 of them, so we
That's
can't answer them all.
Oh, I need to refresh because I'm only at 94.
Oh, well, missing four. Cool. No, I'm not going to stop doing the Moro impression. Oh, it's only showing me 86. I hate when it does that. All right,
same
let's see here.
Here.
Connor Triple H fight. I find it funny. Connor Dunmore finds it funny. Connor Dunmore has a question. He says, after Raw on Monday, I met The Miz and took a photo with him.
Cool.
He was a chill guy, and I know you met him. So my question is, if you can meet one wrestler you've met already again and buy him a beer and have a conversation with him, who would it be? I don't know if he drinks, but AJ freaking Styles.
Yes, 100%.
Easily.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. Top of your wish list for somebody you'd want to interview now, because we've interviewed some people already. Who would you want to interview now?
The New Day.
Oh, really? That'd be interesting. That'd be fun.
Yeah, it seemed like that'd be a fun interview.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Dillinger.
Oh, that's interesting.
And Kevin Owens.
Oh, really? I'd want to interview Bobby Roode.
That'd be good, too.
I don't want to interview Eric Young. I don't want to interview all of Sanity, but I want them to be in character.
Oh, yeah. I'd want them, Alexander Wolfe to mosh them.
I do. I'd want them to take me to the squatter house that they stay in. I wonder if they have to look up squatter houses whenever they're in a new, like whenever the NXT goes on tour.
Could be.
Yeah. Let's see here. What else do we have?
The South Texas Tiger, Dan Cannon. How would you guys book the continuation of the Rollins-Joe feud? We're going to have some sort of stipulation match at Extreme Rules, I would suspect.
It's gonna be, yeah. So speculate. What would the Extreme, because it's Extreme Rules. Usually, doesn't that mean there's like, no, at TLC, they usually do the different table
variations
on that. So Extreme Rules, I mean, it's just going to be an extreme match.
Yeah, probably like a false count anywhere.
Yeah. That'd be good.
Something like that.
He's going to puke, says, with Gallows and Anderson being treated the way they are with not much, with not being taken as a serious threat, do you see them going back to wrestling in Japan? I don't.
They're still under contract, so that's
not
going to happen.
They probably signed a multi-year deal with the WWE. They are professionals. And I actually believe there are certain people, you can always insert them into a main event scene in their particular division, and they'll be taken seriously.
Yes.
Just because they're not taken seriously right now, tomorrow, I will totally believe it.
Yeah.
I still feel that way about Bray Wyatt, although, man, they're doing everything they can to test that faith. But no, I think that honestly, regardless of what's going on with them, how they're booked in the ring, wins, losses, whatever, number one, they're fresh off being champs. And number two, they really do seem like they're having fun.
Yeah.
I think that management knows, look, what would you rather have? An American Alpha or the club? I think at this point it'd be the club. I know American Alpha has, like, you know, a lot of potential there.
Yes.
The club is a proven commodity.
Yes.
They know that they can use those guys to get other people over big time.
Yeah.
Let's
Terrence
see
Thompson, which WWE superstars are you currently bored over with? I'm exhausted with Enzo and Dean for all the obvious reasons. I'm also bored with Seth Rollins because his face run has been really underwhelming and he's inconsistent in the ring.
Oh, man, I kind of disagree with Seth on that one. I agree with him with Enzo and kind of Dean. I fluctuate on Dean. This morning when I was watching Dean, I was like, I could be back into this guy.
So that's how I felt last week with Dean. Then this week with Dean, I kind of felt back to how I was previously.
Like, there you go. You never know with Dean.
Sometimes, dull Dean.
Yeah. I'm totally down with Seth, though.
I can
never get enough Seth.
Tommy T, hey friendo, so this question might be a little hard to answer, but I have to ask, what?
Who are you completely bored over with? We didn't actually answer the question.
I fluctuate with Dean. Sometimes, like as I said last week, I thought his whole gimmick was on point, and he's towed the line between being legitimate and funny.
I'm trying to think who I'm bored or over with. Who I'm bored with or over. I would the Enzo and Cass. They need to. Here's the thing about Enzo and Cass.
They just need to do something.
Well, yeah, but also like that. Their open is so monotonous at this point. Like we've heard it so many times, and I feel like here's my thing. Here's my thing about that. I get that it's the moment in the thing where the crowd all gets to participate.
Yeah,
there aren't enough people who come out who do their entrances. And they're dynamic. They do something different with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anybody that they do that with. Because, you know, for TV production, they have to do the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
I just feel like there should be.
I mean, even the New Age Outlaws, they did roughly the same thing every time they came out. But it was much shorter.
Yeah, that's true.
And there was a little bit of wiggle room.
Well, what's his... Road Dogg knew how to improv.
Yeah.
And I feel like Enzo can probably improv with the best of them.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of why I think their shtick needs to, like... I don't know, be varied up a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's just me being whatever. Who am I bored with? Right now, who am I bored with?
Are you bored with American Alpha?
Oh, God. I've been over them for a while. Yeah. I mean, there's... Yeah, there you go. Who else is in SmackDown's tag division right now? Well, the New Day are going to SmackDown. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, American Alpha. Like, I was so excited about them.
Yeah, no, we were so hopeful.
I was super hopeful.
I can't really think of anybody other than maybe Dean.
Yeah.
But that's a week-to-week thing. Tommy T, hey, friendo. So this question might be a little hard to answer, but I have to ask, what are some hard truths about current WWE superstars or the product? Some examples Tommy T thought of are Bray Wyatt, while a good character, is not great in the ring.
Oh, I like him in the ring.
He's a good storyteller in the ring.
Yeah.
Titus isn't that charismatic or good in the ring.
Oh, well, he's definitely charismatic.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, I think he does what he can in the ring.
Yeah.
But, you're not going to get a five-star match out of Titus.
And lastly, Brock Lesnar is the best heel in the company, but he's the only one who people want to see actually lose. And when he does, he instantly makes his opponent a huge, legitimate name.
I agree with the Brock Lesnar thing.
Yeah.
What are some hard truths about the current WWE superstars or product?
I think Dean is an engaging character who could put on good matches. I don't know if he's a top of the card guy, though.
Yeah, I agree with that one. You know what's funny is that a month ago or whatever the latest Roman kerfuffle was.
Yeah.
You and I sit here and we try to justify Roman.
Yeah.
And one guy on Twitter, I forget who it was, simply said, "I boo Roman because I think he's boring as a wrestler." And I was thinking to myself, wow, that boiled it down.
Yeah.
He's boring.
Yeah.
Like I think that's the main problem with Roman. It's not even necessarily that they're having him win all the time.
Yeah.
It's simply that he's boring.
Yeah.
You know, and we can say, oh, but it's not his fault. But I've said before, I mentioned this when we were talking about the Apollo Crews thing. People can find ways to be interesting in the small. Look at Rusev.
Yes.
Rusev's a great example of that. Is that they book him in one direction, in one direction only. But every single time, Rusev will do something small, different, and entertaining.
Yes.
And Roman needs to figure that out. He needs to find something to do when he goes out there in front of people.
Yes.
Because, like, what's going to happen? Like, he does something a little bit different, a little bit odd.
Are they going to boo him more?
Well, no. What's creative going to do? You know, are they going to suddenly de-push him? That'd probably be best for him.
I know.
I don't know, man. Yeah, Roman's just boring. I mean, I don't think that's like a revelation or anything.
No.
But it's like we can sit here and say, well, we saw something that was a little flash in him. Like this week I was just utterly tired and bored. I'm just so... And that doesn't make a heel.
No.
Anyways.
No.
Anyways.
The Empire of Filth official signed guy, Drew Ronaldo. Do you think WWE will ever add a third single?
Oh, here's a hard truth. I'm sorry. I like this one, though. WWE doesn't give us the matches that they should.
Yes.
You know? You have Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles on the same thing right now. Why isn't that first and foremost? Why? That would draw eyes so much. And I understand, like, yeah, you want to build Shinsuke Nakamura. Could you imagine if he came out and challenged AJ Styles to start?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That'd been huge. I know.
Like, sometimes they just simply don't give us what they have.
Well, I think they probably think there's more money in building to that match at, say, WrestleMania as opposed to giving it to people right away.
Let me ask you something. What are the odds we're going to see Shinsuke Nakamura, AJ Styles at WrestleMania? We'll see it. Or do you think it's going to be presented in the manner that it should be?
Well, the manner it should be presented is them fighting over the WWE title.
Right.
That's how it should be presented.
But do you think, like, barring that, because I don't even know if that's going to happen. I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me. Sometimes they give us what they want. I just feel like when
give
you have...
Give us what we want.
Give us what we want. I know. And that sounds entitled. But, like, come on. Everybody would mark out for that.
Oh, yeah.
Give me a break. Give me a break.
Drew Ronaldo, do you think WWE will ever add a third singles title to their brands? If they did, what titles would you want to... Would you like to see established or brought back? So, second mid-card belt.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing about that.
Well, I mean, Cruiserweight title is, for Raw, second mid-card belt.
Kind of. It's on its own island. I don't really agree with that.
But it's not on its own island because it's on Raw. It's been defended on Raw, I think.
Well, so far we have no evidence that going through the cruiserweight title can lead to the intercontinental or U.S. title.
I understand that.
So if that ever becomes a thing, which I think we both want to have happen.
Oh, yeah.
Then, yes, correct. That'll be there. Apparently, Aleister Black's been on Main Event lately.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
What do you think that means?
Like he was on the network show Main Event?
Apparently he was on Main Event.
Who was he fighting?
Kurt Hawkins. I think I saw somebody say that. They could have totally been bullshitting me, but I thought I saw it in two different places. Aleister Black Main Event Hawkins. I'm going to look this up. I don't think they're going to... Here's my thing. If you...
That's interesting.
Crazy, right?
Well, I guess he's not going to be put in the cruiserweight division.
No, I don't think so. Makes me happy. Here's my thing about adding... Once the Universal title and the WWE World title come back to Earth where they belong, then it's going to devalue the crap out of the... Then another mid-card title will devalue the crap out of the IC title and the US title.
That's
going to be the problem with it.
Yeah, potentially. I can see that point.
And I think I actually think lately they've been doing a decent job of having feuds without the need for titles.
Yeah.
So as long as they can keep on doing that, then it's fine.
Nemo, the Universal Kidney Punching Champion. My question today is, how long before Bray versus Finn will become the Eater of Worlds versus the Demon King? Will they give us normal matches between the two before Finn uses his special weapon? Demon mode.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, if they have a match on a pay-per-view, then Finn's going to be in the demon outfit.
The way they're pacing this out, Bray Finn is going to be the obvious thing for Summer. I think we'll see the demon Finn at SummerSlam.
You think so? You don't think we're going to get a match?
For the IC title?
Oh, maybe. Well.
At SummerSlam?
Maybe.
I don't know, man. I mean, they didn't even mention Bray versus Finn this week.
Yeah, there's no tease of it whatsoever.
So, yeah, no. It would feel like they're pacing this out so slowly that it's going to culminate at SummerSlam. Because Bray, look, it's Bray Wyatt. He's a former WWE champion. I know.
That's forgettable.
I know. But he's kind of a big deal.
He is.
He has many leather-bound books. His apartment smells of rich mahogany. Exactly. So I think we're going to see the Demon King at SummerSlam against Bray Wyatt. They'll probably mix it up at Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah.
But then we'll see the Demon King at SummerSlam.
The Greek Freak Steve Papa.
That'd be an interesting interview, Bray Wyatt.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be really interesting.
I think talking to Finn would be great, too.
Yeah.
Hey, friendos, one thing that really bugs me is watching Seth Rollins wrestle. Oh, one thing that really bugs me watching Seth Rollins wrestle is knowing every time his wrist wraps will come undone and get in the way. Do you guys have any pet peeves when it comes to wrestlers' attire? Yeah, the Seth Rollins thing, it just confuses me why he continues to wear them when every time
right.
he has a match halfway through, those wraps come off.
Yeah. I don't think it bugged me, but it might now that everybody's mentioning it, that you're mentioning it. Let's see here.
Wrestler's attire. What's bothersome?
Trying to think. You know what used to bug me? When Scott Hall would come out in tights that were obviously faded.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think he had the variation of, like, the white blood drip type thing.
Yeah.
But it was gray. And it might have just been gray material, but it looked like it was faded because I swear I had seen it in white.
Yes, I know what you mean.
I don't like when somebody has, like, okay, this was kind of a bugaboo of mine too. When Undertaker would wear, like, sort of faded black jeans and you could see his butt sweat.
Yes.
That bugged me.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, those don't breathe well.
Yeah.
So his butt is sweating.
Yes. And you can see it.
Because everybody sweats in different, like, parts.
Yeah.
You know? Where do you sweat?
The most?
Yeah.
Or the most annoying spot?
Didn't you say, yeah, what's the most annoying?
It's lower back.
Yeah.
My lower back sweats a lot.
Yeah. You know what I hate? Because I sweat, so I have, like, a belly. I'm trying to get rid of it, man. And so, like, but when it's, like, hot, like, the sweat will come down in the tip of my belly.
Yeah.
And so I'd get, if I'm wearing, like, one of those gray shirts, you know those weird gray shirts that just immediately you can see spots of sweat emanate.
Yeah.
I got like a little thing right here, and it's like a sign that says, hey, I'm fat. It's a rude shirt to wear.
Does the shirt stick to you then?
I don't even care necessarily about that. I just don't like it being pointed out on me.
Yeah.
You know, that's where people are just saying, well, then lose some weight, you fat bastard. Anyways.
Magnum TA champion Nathan Raglan. WWE wants to make a new game show for the WWE Network. What's the game show format, and what wrestler would be the host?
Oh, I would love that, man. A game show?
Imagine Match Game, WWE.
Yeah. That'd be really good.
Panel of six wrestlers.
Yeah.
With Chet Shedderfield hosting.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. I'd like that a lot. I would like a wrestling-themed Jeopardy.
That'd be good.
That'd be good. And then one of the categories is Kayfabe Corner.
Yes.
That'd be good.
Who would host? Who would be the Alex Trebek of this show?
Well, ideally, it'd be John Cena, but he's so busy doing movie stuff, it's not realistic.
Yes.
So I'm going to say, well, I like being in character Chet Shedderfield. I like that.
I think that's a perfect game show host.
Yeah, that's good.
Alex Knight. Hey, Steven Larson. Hi. New patron, longtime listener, and the friendo behind the Friendo Unified Championship Wrestling Twitter account.
Yeah.
My first question begins with an experience. Over the past 2 years, my love for Roman Reigns has slowly depleted. Not because of his work or what Vince is doing with him, but how the crowd treats him. It's come to the point where I can't enjoy a single Reigns match without the crowd booing the high spots or even his entrance. Now, because of the crowd, I'm not a fan of Roman anymore. My question is, which superstar over the years did you slowly lose interest or enjoyment of because of the crowd? Thanks, friendos. Have a great day.
I don't know if that's ever happened to me.
Yeah, I don't know if that's ever happened to me either.
I'm trying to think. I don't know if I've ever, like, sometimes that just makes me, I've never really just sort of been with the crowd on, like, oh yeah, I agree with you guys, so I'm gonna be in the same on the same page.
Yeah.
I could see. I have no idea what it's like to be a Roman Reigns fan.
Yeah.
So I could imagine how that'd be frustrating.
I can imagine at one point, me enjoying a wrestler, and then him getting really over with the crowd and the crowd cheering him more, and me, you know, especially in my younger days, thinking, well, this person's popular now. I'm gonna move on to somebody else.
Oh sure, yeah. I can see that. I can see that happening.
I can't think of a specific example, but I wouldn't be surprised that happened at one point.
Yeah. Or if they have like a thing that that you clue into before everybody else, and then once they get into it and the wrestler starts going overboard with it,
yeah,
you're like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Let's see here. I'm going down here. First time patron. The Brand X champion J-Mac. If Titus Brand were to quit WWE, where do you see him flourishing? I mean, there's two things here. There's what I think he could do, and then there's reality.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have no idea what kind of prospects he would have, how good his agent might be in getting him other projects. I think he's talented enough to be like sort of a comedic actor in some supporting role.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't think he's as charismatic as like a Terry Crews, but you know, the Terry Crews gimmick, you know, like big buff funny dude.
Yeah.
I think Titus O'Neil could pull that off somewhere. I think it's probably more likely that he could open up a gym somewhere and find great success doing that.
Yeah. In terms of wrestling.
He's a legitimate Impact guy.
Oh, yeah.
He could definitely go to Impact and
yeah.
make an impact and go be misused.
Yes. Super Nerdy Sama. So Larson's gimmick is cold water. This begs the question, what is Steve's official gimmick?
Oh, I don't know. What is my gimmick?
I don't know if we've ever put a name to it.
Okay.
Here you go. Okay. Kind of. You're kind of the two of us, you're the one that doesn't have a filter.
Yeah. So. Oh, my God. I was about to say no filter Steve.
Yeah.
Loose good. Cannon.
Yeah, I was going to say loose cannon,
cannon
Steve.
Steve.
That's exactly what I was going to say. A loose cannon Steve here.
I like that. I like this. How can I not read this? It's really long and I haven't read it in advance. But, oh, here we go. The King of Sacramento style. Says he hasn't gotten a question read here yet, but let's see if today is my lucky day. Today is your lucky day.
Lucky day.
Let's see what his question is. He says, I feel most of the feuds on Raw right now are kind of boring or stagnant. No matter how great Samoa Joe and Rollins are separate are separate something about their matches against each other does not make me want to watch them, for example. I know I read that oddly. Sorry. His question is, how would you shake up the current feuds?
Well, I would have had Joe win the first match between Rollins and himself.
Yeah. I would do this. I would pit...
Like, how about this? Have Joe really work over the knee, the injured knee, the knee he hurt. Really work it over. Make it seem like that Seth might be re-injured. Have Joe win.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's adversity for Seth to overcome.
Yeah. I would do what they should have done after payback. I would have done this. I would have had... Or after the shakeup was done with, I'd have had Joe go after Dean.
Mm-hmm.
Have Joe versus Dean for the IC title. Have him take that IC title off him. And that would have left Rollins... versus
Rollins Miz could be
entertaining.
Could have been interesting.
Yeah. So I would have shaken up the feuds as well.
Because it's odd that the first feud for the Intercontinental title on Raw is a feud we'd seen already on SmackDown.
I know.
They're rehashing stuff that we'd seen before.
Yeah, totally. Let's open up some mail.
Yeah.
Oh, I like this question here though. Go ahead and watch out the address. Yeah, I didn't do the address out. Tranquilo Vega says, what do you guys think about the safety of Jack Gallagher's headbutt? I know he hits it on the softest part of his opponent's chest, so I feel like it's fairly safe, but it makes him cringe sometimes. Maybe use it a little more sparingly instead of two or three times a match. I'll be honest with you, Tranquilo Vega. I love the headbutt. I think it's fantastic.
I think it's fantastic.
And it's honestly kind of because I know that it's safe as can be.
Yeah.
And
I'm sure he actually hits the person about this hard.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
And he smacks his
leg.
But
he's got that whipping hair that makes it look like that.
And he knows how to, you know, make the perfect sound with his smacking his leg to make it sound like it really hurts.
How often are you able to catch the smacking of the leg with kicks and stuff? Because I always try, but I like they always do it so well that I always just
see. It's usually because they do it as they bring the leg up and they have to have their hand there.
Yeah, I know.
They're trained professionals.
The point of impact always draws your eye there, no matter how much you're trying to see. It's great.
I know.
It's fantastic.
Trained professionals.
This is from...
Oh, yeah.
Mike Vitale, the legit hoss. He says, friendos, love the show. Wanted to send along a token of my appreciation. Since the WWE shipping department is as organized as their creative department, I got the same order twice, and I wanted you to have my extra. Again, love the show. I usually tweet to either the show account or Steven Larson directly during Raw and SmackDown. So I dubbed myself a low-level WWE consulting intern. Hope you enjoy the shirt. It was from one of my favorite segments WWE has put out in a while. Oh, look at this, Larson.
Oh, cool.
Southpaw Wrestling. I love it. Let's see. Now the big question. And it's for you. It's a large congratulations, you skinny bastard.
Ha, ha, ha.
Thank you, Mike. We really
Thank
appreciate
you very
it.
Much.
You guys can send us stuff at P.O. That's great.
Do you want me to read this?
Hold on. P.O. Box 1814 Orangevale, California 95662. 95662.
I think that's right. Yeah, that's the right number.
It's in the descriptions right
yes.
there.
This one is from Jacob O. Hey, Steve. Hey, Larson. Two sweets to both of you. Maybe not Larson.
Wow.
My name is Jacob, and I have decided to send you guys a couple of pictures and autographs of some wrestlers and hope you enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan and watch every video.
Mm-hmm.
I am the kid that was at Internet Darlings to ask a question about the cross-brand show, for 2K17. It was awesome to see you guys over WrestleMania weekend, as I haven't seen any people I watch videos of at Mania, even though I have been there 7 years in a row. Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's really cool. Just want to show my support by giving you guys these things that I have no use for. Much love, Jacob O.
I love that he's got a picture of the Singh brothers now, the Bollywood boys, and the real man, Silas Young.
We have this framed picture of parts of the Raw and SmackDown roster.
Nice, look at that. They're all against each other. It's a nice frame here.
It is.
Put that somewhere. Get some nice framed pictures. Christian always looked like just such a regular dude in his later days.
Oh, I know. Oh, look at that.
Oh, look at that guy. Goldberg. Nice.
Have Zack Ryder.
We get the certificate of authenticity here, too.
Oh, cool. Sin Cara.
Woo, woo, woo. Oh, no. I guess Sin Cara. Which Sin Cara is this? This is like Sin Cara Primero. Like, this is the first one, I think.
Maybe.
Because, look, there's no... He looks kind of thinnish, and there's no like tattoo, I think, where the latest Sin Cara's tattoo is. Yeah,
Hunico has a tattoo on his shoulder.
I think Triple H had such high hopes for Sin Cara.
I know.
Because I think he was like a project of his. He's Sin Cara, and then he had to do like three of them.
There's only been two, I think.
I think it's been like eight.
Okay. Are you ready for the greatest pro wrestling trivia challenge of them all?
Kayfabe Corner, correct. You're referring to, of course.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm ready.
So let's
get it over with.
That's up for vote.
That's my
up for vote this week was Batista.
Oh yeah, Triple H.
And Triple H.
Yeah, I saw that.
Who won?
I would think Batista won.
Last I looked, it was Batista.
Okay.
So that's what I went with. I might have changed by now.
Dave. You would. I put you over, Dave. All right, go ahead.
So 12 names.
Okay.
Some real, some fake. Are you ready?
Good.
One.
Yeah.
Lee Kraken.
Real.
Fake.
Oh.
Two. Serpent.
Serpent, real.
Yes.
Yeah.
Three, Brian Logan.
Oh, what a great name. It's real.
Yes.
Yeah.
Four, Jason Cox.
Boy, that sounds real. I'll say real.
Fake.
Okay.
Five, Danny Holiday.
Real.
Yeah. Six, Michael Knox.
Mike Knox is real.
Fake.
Hold on a second. Mike Knox is a real name.
Well, I know it's a real name, but is it a wrestler?
Almost positive it is.
No, okay. That's fine.
Shit. Did I get...
That's right. You got. It is...
So, okay, I forgot if I put a finger up.
I don't remember.
Okay.
Cerebus.
Oh, what a great name. And I think that's real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Griffin Manticore.
Fake. Give me a freaking break, man.
It's a good name, though.
Yeah, it is a good name.
Chad Stockwell.
Chad Stockwell. Fake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Inferno number 3.
Oh no, not the number 3. Fake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bruce Huntington.
Geez, that's a lot of fakes. Bruce Huntington sounds fake. I'll say real.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Greg Lucero.
Greg Lucero. Lucero's real. Greg's it's fake.
Yeah.
Okay.
That 10?
10, baby. Ouch.
Who did Batista defeat to win the OVW championship?
I'll say Prototype.
Doug Basham.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay.
What was the name of the stable Batista was a member of while in OVW?
Oh no. Well, he was Leviathan, right?
Correct.
I will say it was the future.
Disciples of Sin.
Oh, I had no idea. 10, baby! Look at all those fingers. All my fingers, yeah.
I'm trying to remember... What was I up last week? 5?
What was that ridiculous one you had? What was that?
Griffin Manticore.
Griffin Manticore. Oh, somebody, please, somebody make... Matthew Ade, would you make that, please?
They're both mythological creatures. The Griffin, obviously, and there's one called the Manticore.
A Manticore, that sounds about right.
Anyways. So I think you're up 5.
Nice. Back up, baby. That's a nice shirt. You're the real winner today, though.
True.
Look at that guy.
Large for a large.
Well, I'll take it then.
Yeah, take it.
It'll be my motivational shirt. White shirts are the worst because they make you look extra pregnant when you're fat. Anyways, thanks so much for hanging out with us. We're going to do a bonus episode for you patrons out there. For the $5 patrons, they get a bonus episode this week. And every week, if you're at the $5 patron level, you get a bonus episode.
Yes.
So thanks for watching. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.